I'm Michelle Martin. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, the religious left, are they being left out of our national conversation on moral issues? But first, the Democratic presidential candidates are set to participate in a live debate Thursday night at Howard University here in Washington. So I thought it would be fun to ask some of our edgiest political bloggers for their take on the debates and whatever else they're buzzing about. They are three women with three popular but very different sites. Joining us here in our studio is Jam Donaldson. She edits the site HotGhettoMess.com. Also with us is Fausta Rodriguez-Wertz, who blogs at Faustasblog.com. She's in Norfolk, Virginia. And joining us by phone from her office in Washington, D.C. is Anna Marie Cox, formerly known as Wonkette. She now writes the Swampland blog for Time.com. Ladies, bloggers, thank you all for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, full disclosure, I'm one of the journalists who will be questioning the Democratic presidential candidates at Howard on Thursday night. So, Jam, first thing I want to know is, are you really going to watch?
I will watch, and I think I will watch because I think this debate is a great chance to get some more issues on the table. I think the problem with some of the prior debates is that we keep hearing the same questions over and over. Okay, I know your stance on Iraq. I know your stance on gay marriage. I know you want to eliminate partisan gridlock in Congress. But I think some of the issues that people really want to know are never addressed, like poverty, like healthcare, like education. So I'm hoping this debate maybe will put some of those issues on the table.
Okay. Fausta, what about you? Do you think you'd watch?
Well, if you're the moderator, I'll watch. But to me, this is way too early. This campaign, 2 years on, it's just too much. I would prefer if it was a much shorter campaign, much more compact.
Okay. Anna Marie, what about you?
I would like to watch. I find that these debates have so far had great comic value, and I expect that trend to continue.
Absolutely. Oh, talk about it. Okay, so there have been two Democratic presidential debates, three Democratic forums, three Republican candidates debates. Anna Marie, what were your favorite moments?
Well, can I pick from Republicans as well as
sure,
Democrats?
Sure, absolutely.
I think McCain saying he'd follow bin Laden to the gates of hell is going to be a classic on the funny side. But then also I thought his response to the woman who lost her brother in Iraq was a great response on what you maybe want to see candidates sound like. And I also think that Hillary Clinton has been fascinating to watch this entire time. I think that her positioning herself as the front runner and as the presumptive nominee seems to be working for her.
What are you watching for? I mean, obviously you're watching for comic relief, but are you looking for discipline to see how well they can stick to their message, or are you looking for them to stumble or break out of their talking
points? Well, I think that, I mean, all journalists are looking for something that is not a part of the script. And I think that the other thing you're looking for is an ability to sound presidential without sounding stiff, and I think that that's a challenge. And
yeah.
I should say I feel very defensive because I'm not mentioning policy at all here, and that is because there are so many similarities among the front runners that it's hard to watch for real policy differences.
Hmm. Okay. Fausta, what were you going to say?
I was just going to pick up on the point that it is so much a matter of personality rather than
Absolutely.
Policy that it almost works against a more interesting candidate policy-wise if it's not an engaging personality, it's not a kind of guy that you really want to listen to or the kind of woman.
Fausta, are the people who write to you, your correspondents on your site, are they as obsessed with presidential politics as, say, Anna Marie's folks at Swampland? I mean, I know you're writing about Hugo Chavez at the moment, and I know, of course, any intimation of skullduggery by Hillary Clinton gets you going. But
well, my particular blog is more generalized in international news. I do post a very large amount on Latin America, and also I keep an eye on the European Union and France. But I do have a broader appeal rather than just American politics.
Jim, are your correspondents, so the people who access your site, are they fascinated by presidential politics? I know you do a lot of culture, too.
Sure. I don't find that they are that fascinated by presidential politics. I don't know if it's because it is so early in the process and the voter fatigue is setting in already. One interesting thing that has come up is the dialogue about race. Barack Obama has been a real sort of fun thing to talk about and debate. And
is the black enough conversation over, or is it still going on?
I hope it's over. I mean, I think it's so insulting. Like, I hate to hear that term. Is he black enough?
I'm not black, but can I jump in a second?
Sure.
I suppose you can.
You're probably part black. Everybody is.
Don't fall back enough, I know. But I find that really frustrating, let's say, because if you look at the coverage of the, like, 04 campaigns, you'll see that Barack is brought out all the time when they're writing about him campaigning for other people as part of the appeal, part of Democrats trying to appeal to black voters. So apparently in 04, he was black enough to, like, help out, you know, other white Democrats. But all of a sudden that he's, you know, running for president himself, he's not black enough. I think that's a totally invented meme.
We're talking to three political bloggers, Jam Donaldson of HotGhettoMess.com, Fausta Rodriguez-Wirtz of Faustasblog.com, and Anna Marie Cox, who writes the Swampland blog for Time.com.
What about Bill Richardson? Is he Hispanic enough, Fausta? Is anybody writing about that? Is that even a conversation that anybody ever has?
Exactly. And I think it's a good thing that nobody's asking whether Bill Richardson is Hispanic enough, because I, for one, have been asked, well, you know, you don't look Puerto Rican. What am I supposed to look like, you know? It's like, so that I agree that it should not be a part of the equation. It is just absurd to be asking this.
Well, what should we be asking, Fausta?
To me personally, as an entrepreneur, I am very interested in what are the candidates going to do to reduce the costs and the barriers for entrepreneurs like myself right now? That is a very particular question that I have. If it was up to me, what I would ask the candidates would be, what would you offer as incentives to entrepreneurs like myself who have MBAs, who have been sponsoring foreign programmers to come here so that we can continue to attract the best and the brightest workers and keep them?
Interesting. That's an immigration question. That's an interesting point.
It's an immigration. It's also a technology and a business question at the same time. That's why I'm so concerned about it.
Okay. Jam, what should we be asking?
I can piggyback on Fausta's point. Something that concerns me is the state of public education in this country. We are in a huge danger of having a generation that cannot compete in the global economy and in the digital age. So I would really want to know, what are their visions for education? How are we going to prepare these young people so they can compete for these higher level jobs? Mm-hmm. With the manufacturing sector either being outsourced or we're losing jobs to automation, where are people with low education and low skills going to go?
What about this question of how immigration cuts between the Latino community and the black community, if I can phrase it that way, implying that there is one community in each group? Clearly there is not. I mean, there is not. But what about that? Sure. Is there some discussion to be had about the way immigration affects blacks and Latinos differently?
Well, I would say that...
I think I really ought to speak on illegal immigration is really, I think, what we're talking about here.
Well, I would say the main issue, just from sort of having my ear to the streets, as it were, the main issue is basically jobs. And because a lot of the African Americans in inner cities may not have access to the best education, they find themselves competing for the same sort of low-skill, low-level jobs. And on that front, I think they're very worried that they are being pushed out of these jobs and the wages are being depressed by illegal immigration. So that's sort of the main focus I hear is jobs.
Mm-hmm. Anne-Marie, go ahead, Fausta. You wanted to tie a bow on that?
You're absolutely right, because while many people talk about living wages for low-skilled workers, very few seem to notice that the proportion of the less educated Americans that are already working here, whether they're Hispanic or whatever, are affected by imported low-wage labor most directly than any other sector of the economy. Right. That is a particular problem. Mm. Problem, I mean.
Anne-Marie, what do you want to ask?
I guess I'm going to have to go back to my sort of style and character questions, but I am very curious about Barack Obama's style of campaigning. And, you know, he got into trouble recently for this memo that went out under his campaigns from someone at his campaign, but under the heading of Not for Attribution, that was about Hillary Clinton being the senator from Punjab. And it got a lot of South Asian groups upset. And he was, you know, called in for questioning, as it were, about whether or not this fit in with his promise to, you know, have a new style of politics. And I wonder what's going to happen with that promise from him. And I wonder if maybe he doesn't think that it was a mistake to make that promise, because it does seem that he's being punished for saying he was going to do things differently, whereas other campaigns, since they didn't promise to do things differently, can get away with doing whatever they want. And I also wonder if he can reconcile Democrats, I think, thirst for a real fighting candidate with this idea that he wants to be do something beyond partisanship.
That's an interesting question, because you're right. On the one hand, the Democrats want a fighting candidate, somebody who they think is going to go toe-to-toe with the Republicans, who
right.
they feel, you know, have a very sophisticated, you know, attack machine. On the one hand, they do want this politics of hope, all of that. So
right. I think that that's a problem. I think that it's not possible necessarily to reconcile those with one in one candidate, let's say. What Hillary is trying to do is really split the difference, and you know, she's running a general election campaign right now, and she's trying to appear tough but able to reach compromises and also following her own kind of moral compass. I think that someone like John Edwards is obviously doing what he can to appeal to that base element that really wants someone who's going to scrap up with the Republicans, you know, who's going to not just go toe-to-toe with them, but like arm-to-arm and, you know, wrestle them down. And I think that does have a visceral appeal, but if you look at the state of his campaign right now, I mean, it's not necessarily a message that people are flocking to.
Now, Fausto, you're a clearly conservative, right?
Yes.
When you watch the Democrats debate, what are you watching for?
What I am watching for is a candidate, and in any party, by the way, that proposes to create more Americans, more prosperity, and more growth for the workforce, the increasing wages and the household wealth. That's what I look for.
Do you look to be persuaded?
I try not to be so much persuaded by a personality as I am by what the person stands on the issue, which I guess means that I'm kind of a rare kind of voter that way.
Okay. Jay, I wanted to ask you, because your site deals with politics and culture, do the cultural questions interest you at all? You know, sometimes people want to get all spicy and ask, what's your favorite song and stuff like that. Do you care?
I guess sort of what Anne-Marie was saying earlier, these debates at this stage of the game are personality contests. And so to the extent that it makes them more human, or like the whole Hillary Clinton soprano spoof, it does give you a little insight into maybe the candidates on a personal level. It doesn't really interest me, but I think in a heap of debates that are generally very one-note and boring, it kind of spices it up a little bit.
Anna Marie, what about you? Should we go for the favorite song, favorite dance, best dance move?
I think there's nothing wrong with it as long as it's just an appetizer or
right.
you know, a side dish
yeah.
to the main debate. Mm-hmm. And I do think, I agree that it can give you insight onto a candidate. I think that when Mitt Romney named Battlefield Earth as his favorite book, we all got a little, you know, weirded out by that, and probably good reason. And it generally only makes news if someone chooses something, you know, unexpected. But I also do think that it's nice to hear something about a candidate that maybe isn't scripted. Again, like this is about knocking them off of their talking points. And the one thing I have to give Romney on that is clearly that was not a talking point. Something that people have not been talking about at these debates is about education. We haven't had an education-centered debate. We had a healthcare-centered debate. There was an attempt to have an Iraq-centered debate. Actually, all of the debates have been Iraq-centered in a way. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to hear more about education. I'd like to hear more about how – this is going to sound really corny, but I do enjoy – enjoy is the wrong word, maybe. I am interested in hearing candidates talk about the way they want it, the way they want their administrations to interact with people in the future. How are they going to represent us? And also, I mean, I think there's some very good questions to be had from Democrats about accountability and balance of powers in government. Mm-hmm. And we went through an era where we effectively had one-party government. It's not going to be that way again for a while, I don't think. But if it does become, if the Democrats do wind up, you know, taking over two of the three branches of government, how can a, you know, Obama administration or a Hillary Clinton administration or an Edwards administration make sure that the kinds of abuses that happened underneath Bush administration don't happen again?
Let me just ask a question about things like the Supreme Court. Do you think that that's a fair question?
Of course it's a fair question, and we're going to have some openings coming up here. I mean, I think Stevens is hanging on for dear life, but...
But inevitably, they all say the same thing, which is, I have no litmus test. And then they go proceed to say, what their litmus test is. Either the person's got to be pro-choice or pro-life or... So do you ever get a real answer?
I don't know. I thought actually the way that Brian Williams tried to frame it, I guess it was the first debate, was pretty good. The idea of asking them for a specific person, like who their model Supreme Court justice was. Mm. Although he kept changing the rules as they were answering, so it wound up not being so great. But I do think, to the extent you can get as specific as possible with those kinds of questions, like who is the worst justice? I'd love to hear that from presidential
candidates. Good luck with that.
Well, this has been
very
helpful.
I'll be watching the debate if they ask that.
Okay. Well, final thought from each of you. Is there a it's so unfair, but I'm going to ask anyway. Is there the question you know they'll never answer that you're dying to ask, Fausta?
The immigration bill. Who came up with this temporary guest worker program? Because that is such a guaranteed cheap labor program. The guest worker programs have not worked in Europe. They're not going to work here. They're going to depress the local wages because there is no requirement that the employer pay prevailing wages, and it has no wage floor. It precludes the guest workers from applying to even permanent residency. It's amazing that this got even in the even considered.
So how could you be so dumb, right? That's the question.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
all right. Jam, what about you?
That's a hard one. I guess one thing I'd like to know, we're always talking about our dependency on foreign oil. I'd like to know if any of them would be willing to impose a gasoline tax to curb consumption by the consumers in this country.
Okay, interesting. Anna Marie Cox. Question you're dying to ask, which you know they're not going to answer.
I think I'd want to. They have been talking a lot about Iraq, but I think I'd like a really specific answer to the question of, if we can agree that the invasion of Iraq has caused a humanitarian disaster there, what if our departure from Iraq causes a humanitarian disaster? What would they be willing to do?
Okay, interesting. All right. Well, thank you all so much. I appreciate it. Anna Marie Cox is Time.com's Washington editor. She blogs at Swampland on the Times site. Fausta Rodriguez-Wirtz blogs at faustasblog.com. She was at member station WHRO in Norfolk. And I was joined here in the studio by Jam Donaldson. She is a proprietress of HotGhettoMess.com. Thank you all so much for speaking with us. And thanks for the tips.
Thank you.
Thank you.